Well, greetings of Christian love to each of you. Thank you, brother, for that devotions tonight. It's a confirmation to me to know that God is speaking through more than one brother. And you'll understand that as I introduce the message that I plan to preach tonight. But it's good to be here with you. It's been a long time since I was here in this congregation, and it's obvious to me that time brings change. There's a lot of faces here that I don't know tonight, don't recognize, don't have a name for, and some that I do. I'm glad to be here with you and look forward to sharing this week with you all. Been looking forward to that, and continue to pray for us as we seek God and bring what He would have us bring this week. I don't think I'm going to spend a lot of time in introductions. Probably most of you know me, and those of you that don't know me will get to know each other this week. I'll just say that for now. It's just a few things I'm going to say about myself. That is, first of all, I am a man that loves the Lord. And I love the Bible. And I do love preaching. There was a day I probably wouldn't have said that. I remember about 30 years ago when I was ordained, the bishop that ordained me looked at me and he said, "Lamar," he said, "the day will come when you will love preaching." And I really wondered if he knew what he was talking about. But I do love preaching today, and I believe it's because I have something other than myself to preach about. I have the Word of the Lord. We have the Word of the Lord. And I'm thankful tonight that we can look to God and to His Word for a message, and I plan to do that from night to night. It's not going to be my message. It's going to be the Word of the Lord this week. And we're going to look into God's Word. I tend to look at a lot of scriptures when I preach. And I don't apologize for that. I love hearing the Bibles, the rustling of pages in congregations. And I'm looking forward to hearing that from you as we look into God's Word this week. Another thing I'm very thankful for tonight is all the children that are here. God bless you, children, and thank you for being here. Church without children is not really church in my mind. I've been at places like that already. I've traveled a lot in my life, and in some of my travels, I've been at places. It hasn't always been in our congregations or in our churches, but I have had a habit over the years that when I travel that I would go to church somewhere. And I haven't always been where I could maybe find a Mennonite church like we're used to going to. So I've been into some other settings. And I've been into settings where it was just old people in the pews. And no youth, no young people, no children around. Something about that doesn't feel right, doesn't seem right. And so I'm glad you're here tonight. God bless you, children, and thank you for being here. And I plan to just have a little talk with you each evening about something. I'm going to ask a few questions, just give you a little homework and a little assignment each evening. I love some interaction with children. Tonight I'm going to do it a little different since you didn't have time to take a question along home like I planned for you to do the rest of the week or at least some of the evenings. We'll see if I keep it up all week or not, but we'll start out like this. But tonight I'd like to ask you a few questions and see if we can learn a little lesson. I'm going to ask you a few questions in relation to some animal. I'll give you that hint. It's an animal that I'm thinking about tonight. And this animal often hid itself in the brush in Bible lands so that he could jump out and catch anything that went by. Do you have any idea what what animal that might have been. Think back to some Bible stories, because I said it's in Bible lands. It's an animal in Bible lands that likes to hide and jump out and catch anything that goes by. Anybody want to take a guess what it might be? Any of these little boys up here, anybody? What might it be? Yes. A lion. Okay, you're right. I didn't know if that question was going to hide him hard enough that you won't find him right away. I had a few more questions I want to ask about that if you don't, but he was also, you're right, it was a lion, and there was also a time when an angel came and shut the lion's mouth so that he couldn't get his prey. When was that? Yes. When Daniel was in the lion's den, that's right. Samson also caught a lion, and what did Samson do with the lion? You know what the Bible says about that? What did Samson do with a lion? Anyone? How about the girls over here? The boys were doing pretty good at answering these questions. Anyone? What did Samson do to a lion?
He killed the lion.
He killed the lion. Was it hard for him?
I think so.
It says he killed him as easy as if it would have been a kid. I can't imagine that, can you? But Samson killed a lion, and the Bible says he killed him as easy as he would have killed a kid. Well, what does the Bible tell us? The Bible says one more thing, or at least one more thing about a lion. It says that there's something or somebody that acts like a lion sometimes. Who's that? Who acts like a lion sometimes? Yes, back there. That's right, Satan. Satan acts like a lion sometimes. 1 Peter 5:8 says that Satan, as a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he may devour. Ooh. That's scary, isn't it? To think about that. If you were outside somewhere away from the house and you would see a lion in the field, you would probably get pretty serious about watching that lion, wouldn't you? I would. And especially if I were out there and I detect that that lion is looking at me and he sees me, I would be pretty awake and pretty watchful, don't you think so? I think I'd probably be on edge. And you know what? If that lion would roar at me, what do you think I would do? I'd probably be out of there pretty fast, don't you think so? I'd flee. I'd run. I'd really get going, I believe. Well, the Bible says that we're supposed to watch that lion, Satan. Paul told Timothy, he said that there's some things we're supposed to flee. I think that's what we would do, right? We would flee. But you know what? Satan would like to bring temptation into our lives. Satan would like to tell us some things are okay sometimes that aren't. You know, like even bad things that we think about, and we think about doing bad things sometimes. Do you ever think about doing bad things? I see some heads nodding yes. That's being honest. We all do sometimes. We all think about doing some bad things sometimes. But we're supposed to flee the lion. When we think about doing bad things, we better stop and we better think about it and we better flee. We better run the other way. That's what the Bible tells us we're supposed to do when we see that lion, or we know that it's Satan, that it's a temptation, that it's a bad idea, that it's not a good idea to do that. We're to not do it. We're supposed to go the other way and start thinking about good things. We're supposed to flee That means flee in our minds, change our mind, change our thought patterns, think different. Or maybe sometimes it simply means that we get out of wherever we are and move on somewhere else in life. So remember that. Remember that a lion is something that hides in the brush, just like Satan does sometimes, ready to jump out and get us when we're not aware. And remember to flee when it's time to flee. Now, if you have some paper and pencils, you can write the question down for tomorrow night. The question for tomorrow night, and I want you to look up the answer if you can. It's another animal. What animal did Tobiah mockingly suggest could break down a stone wall by walking on it? What animal did Tobiah mockingly suggest could break down a stone wall by walking on it? You see if you can find that in the Bible. Find that answer. Find a story in relation to that question for tomorrow night. I'll repeat it one more time, just in case you're still writing. What animal did Tobiah mockingly suggest could break down a stone wall by walking on it? Well, thank you, Chilton, for your time, for your attention, and thank you for being here. And you may continue to listen the rest of the evening, too. In fact, I want you to. I have decided this week, as I pondered this week of meetings, in my years, over the years, I have asked numerous questions for titles and for the message titles, and I've tried to answer some questions, and that's what I plan to do this week. I plan to, most of my message titles will probably be in question form, and we're going to look for some answers in God's Word. Tonight, the question, and this is the title to the message, is this: what will last forever? What will last forever? In the beginning of time, the universe, this world as we know it, came into existence by the word of the Lord. God commanded, and the Bible tells us back in the creation story, God said, "Let there be," and there was. It happened. All God had to do was say the word, and it was. It happened. And God said it was good. Around us is an obedience. Everything around us, I want to say, is in obedience to the word of God. The laws that govern the universe today yet are in obedience to God's spoken words. The laws that govern our behavior are in obedience, should be, must be in obedience to God's written word. What will last forever? Everything that we know is going to pass on. We live in a world of decay. This world is going to burn up, the Bible tells us. We as people, from the moment of our birth, are in a condition of decay. It doesn't get too much better than when you're a few years old, and after that it's a matter of aging, a matter of things processing, progressing in a way that we can't stop it. It goes on. But that's not the case with God's word tonight, dear friends. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to notice verse 18. 1 Peter 1 and 18. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word of the Lord endureth forever. It will last forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. These were the words of Peter. Well, tonight, dear friends, That is the gospel that I want to preach to you this week. For numerous reasons. It's God's word. It's God's message. And I want you to think about this as we preach this year. Forget about who's up here speaking. Forget about me being behind the pulpit. Look past me and see God in the background here somewhere. See the cross of Jesus this week and the work that he has done and the words that he has spoken and the things that he is telling us. And forget that Lamar said it. It's coming from the word of the Lord. That's what I want it to be. That's my burden this week, and that's my desire. I'm just a man. I'm just human. I have my weaknesses. I have my tendencies. I have my failures just like you do. And I need God's word. And I need the word of the Lord in my life as much as anybody does. And I'm so thankful tonight that I have the word of the Lord to share with you and that we can depend on it because it will last forever. Like I said, everything in this world will deteriorate eventually, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. The Bible is full of phrases like, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, therefore, thus saith the Lord. You read those phrases many, many times. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, I'm just telling you some phrases that come from God's word tonight. These were from various prophets and various people that were telling the audience in front of them, look past me and look at God. It is God that is speaking. The message is from God. The word of the Lord came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Peter opened his mouth and said, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, that word I'm preaching, peace by Jesus Christ, that word I say, ye know. He was telling his audience, you know the word of the Lord. We have history to look at. Tonight, the question is, what does the word of the Lord mean to you and I, to you, to myself? And this is why I say I appreciated the brother's devotions. God was speaking to him and knew what was coming tonight. The psalmist David said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Dear friend, tonight, do you love God's word, the word of the Lord, enough that you can say, oh, God, I love thy law. It is my meditation. I just think about it. I just ponder it. I just meditate upon it all day long. Can you say that? Do you love it that much? I love God's word, but I'll confess, I think about many, many other things in a day's time, and I don't meditate. Yes, I meditate on it different times, I'll say that, but not all the day. You see, that was what God told Joshua. He said, take courage and look into the book of the law. We're not going to turn there, but you know that. It's familiar. Look into the book of the law and study it and meditate therein day and night. And that's how you're going to find your way, he told Joshua. Joshua was coming into a place of being a new leader and had a work before him that looked awesome, looked great. It looked like he could, you know, something he couldn't do. He couldn't on his own. But you know what Paul told the Hebrews? He said the word didn't benefit you because it wasn't mixed with faith. So there's another thing we need to do. We can't just hear the word of the Lord like our brother reminded us. But what are you going to do with it? Are you going to mix it with faith? Are you going to believe it? I had to wonder about this. The word of the Lord is priceless. We know that. We have our Bibles. We treasure them. It's a priceless treasure. It's priceless for many reasons. It tells us of God's plan of redemption for the human race and of eternal life for those who accept the message that is in it. And so it's priceless. It's a treasure. 2 Peter talks about that. If you have your Bibles open to 1 Peter, just turn over a few pages to 2 Peter chapter 1. And notice verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It doesn't have to be a private interpretation tonight. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's God's word. The Holy Ghost moved men to write it. And we have the story of redemption and the story for the human race. We have this message, and so it's priceless. We have the Scriptures as a lamp and the Holy Spirit to illuminate that lamp, the word for us as we seek truth. Tonight I wonder, do we read the word and later meditate on what we read? We may not have been moved by the seriousness of the word or have gotten the inspiration of the word till we take time to think about what we read and meditate. And you know what? Many times when we do that, and we do it again, and we do it again, and all of a sudden there's something new that comes out of the Word of God again that stands out to us. And it looks, all of a sudden there's a message here that we grasp that we didn't get before. And it does something for us. It stirs in our hearts, and it says, it brings conviction. And it says, you know, there's some needs here. There's some things I need to change in my life. We get the benefit from it. We get it finally does. It's a little bit like our cows at home. I spent my life being a dairy farmer. And cows eat, and then they lay down and they chew their cud. And they chew their cud. And you know, it's only as they do that they really get the benefit of what they put into their stomachs. Maybe that's a crude illustration. But dear friends, that's how we need to read the Word of God and study it. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We need to study and ponder and think and look it up and search meanings out so that we can rightly divide the Word of truth. The other thing about the Word of God tonight, it is something that we can trust, depend on. It is pure. The Bible tells us that every word of God is pure. We have trouble speaking the way we should sometimes. That's not our God. Every word of God is pure. The Bible is pure. The word is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. So we can trust the word of God. It is pure, and it is a blessing to have. Well, I'd like to just ponder this question a little further. What does the word of the Lord mean to us? To me, to you? You see, men seek for truth. Men spend a lot of time today looking for real things. They spend a lot of money. They spend a lot of time searching things out. Probably some of us do that. When we go to purchase things today, we can use our modern means that we have, and we can get online and we can compare prices and quality, and we can search things out, and probably if we're making a major expenditure somewhere, we might spend hours or days or weeks sometimes searching and looking, and we want the best. We want the best. Do we do that when we go to seek for truth? Does the Word of God, do we enjoy it? Do we love it that much? And we want truth that much that we seek it. Thy word is truth. Do we spend time for seeking the truth? I don't spend a lot of time with news. I will admit in the last month, since some of the world happenings are going on, I have had interest in following that, and I've spent more time than I probably ever did in following news. But you know what? I find myself just turning away from that because you say, you know, you really don't know what is true and what isn't. A lot of it is. Some might not be. We don't have to do that with God's Word. God's Word is true. We can depend on it. It's pure. So what does it mean to us? Do we see it as truth, and do we seek it as truth? Secondly, the Word of God is pure, like I said. It represents the holiness of God. Let's turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1 again. And I want you to notice verse 3 through verse 5, where Peter says this. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times." What does that mean to you tonight? That is truth, and that is purity, and God is interested in every one of our lives tonight, to the point that He will keep us. When we commit our hearts and our lives to Him and into His keeping, He has promised to keep us. And there's an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you for the future, as long as we're faithful to Him and to His Word. You see, it represents the holiness and the purity and the endurance of our Lord in a way that we human beings have a hard time wrapping our hearts and our minds around it. I want you to think about it in this way for a few moments tonight. There was a day when the Word of the Lord was precious, because the Bible tells us there was no open vision. No Bible, no Holy Spirit, a law to keep, and every once in a while a prophet that said, "The Lord spoke to me," and He gives the message to you. But there's no Spirit there to convict, no Holy Spirit to bring the message. No Bible to read. Just a message from a prophet, from God through a prophet. Turn back to Amos with me. Amos talks about a time like this. Just think about that for a moment. Amos talks about a time like this. In Israel's experience, Israel was running from God and was turning their back. And Amos says this in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. He says this: "Behold, the days come." Notice it says days, not just a day. "It was a while, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." God was saying, "I'm going to send a famine of hearing from me. You're not going to hear messages from me. You're not going to hear my voice. I'm not going to give you any more direction for a while. I'm not going to give you any more encouragement, any inspiration. You're going to be without that. There's going to be a thirst. It's not going to be a famine. And it's not going to be a literal thirst, but it's going to be from hearing the word of the Lord. And it says this, "And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst." Talking about a spiritual thirst. They just wish they could have heard something from God, just a confirmation of the things they were seeing, and it wasn't there. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that. Not having a Bible, not going to church, not hearing preaching, not being able to read God's word, not even having a Holy Spirit to illuminate something to us. How I can't imagine the feeling that must go with that. A land without godly principles gets very, very dark. I don't know if you've ever been out of the country or been in a land like that. But a number of years ago, I was in the land of Bangladesh when that work first started. And the light is there now. And Bangladesh is a different country than it was then. But I never experienced the literal darkness like I did in Bangladesh, being out in the boonies. And it got dark at night. I mean, it got dark, dark. But not only was it the literal darkness that was there, it was the darkness that was there because of the lack of the gospel and a lack of a Christian influence, I guess I'll call it. And it felt dark. It just felt like something was really, really missing. I can't describe it to you. It was an eerie feeling, a really eerie feeling is what it was. I believe that's what Amos was describing. Tonight, what does the word of the Lord mean to us? Well, I'd like to move on into another part of this message. And I'd like to, for a few moments tonight, and I don't want to preach too long each evening. One of the things that a preacher has to fight that loves to preach and has something to say is that he doesn't preach too long. And I have a habit of doing that sometimes. And I don't want to do that to you this week. I know that you have children along and you want to get to school and there's another part of life to live. But for a little bit tonight, I want to show you yet what the Bible says about itself. The Bible has some things to say about itself. Turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 23. The Bible says that it's a mirror. It mirrors itself. And in James 1 and verse 23, it says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass," or in a mirror is what it means. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." So here we have a man that heard the message. He heard the word of the Lord, just like we did so often. But he walked out that door back there, and for whatever reason, he didn't do what he heard. And James says, that man takes a look at himself, and he goes on with life, and he simply forgets what kind of man he is. He doesn't even think about who he is. He doesn't even think about the life that he's living very much. He doesn't care what kind of influence he has on other people. He doesn't take a look at himself. But then James says this about the word of the Lord. He says, "But whoso looketh into," we could say the word of the Lord here, "the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein." In other words, he does. He takes it to heart and he listens. And he goes out and he puts it in practical everyday life. He lives it at work. He lives it when he goes to town. He lives it everywhere he goes. He is an example of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he knows is his life, is where it comes from. He looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed. Is it any wonder that the people of God who obey the word of God, who hear the word of God, who take the word of the Lord and put it to practice and live it out in their lives, is it any wonder they're happy and they have a smile on their face? And you can almost tell they're a Christian and they're happy when you meet them, you see them. You see, it's a person that, the person that just listens and doesn't obey can't see himself. But if he keeps looking at God's word, he not only remembers, but God's blessing is on him. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. And I want to show you something else tonight. Tonight, I have a responsibility that weighs heavy on my shoulders this week. I'm sorry, I'm in Luke. I want to go back to Matthew chapter 13. And I want to take notice to verse 18. We'll break in here. This is the parable of the sower. Jesus was talking about the seeds that fell in different types of ground. Some fell. This first kind fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. But in verse 18, Jesus says this then, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom," or heareth the word of God, "and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside," he says. So Jesus is saying, here is a person that heard. He heard. He hears the word of the kingdom, but he didn't understand it. Why didn't he understand it? He heard it. But somehow, for some reason, it didn't connect to his heart. Didn't he care? Or didn't somebody explain it to him right? And this is why I say I have a responsibility this week. As I stand here and I preach and I teach, that I somehow make the preaching and the teaching plain enough that if you go out here and you heard this week what I said, but you didn't understand, because it says that that's worse, because the devil comes along then and he's worse off because it didn't catch in his heart, and the devil takes the opportunity and life gets even worse for him, is what he's saying here. That's what he's saying. His choices get worse. And so, yeah, preachers, we have a responsibility. Fathers, in our homes, as leaders, we have a responsibility in teaching our young people in ways that they can understand, so that it gets a hold of their hearts, and so that their experience isn't like this individual here. You see, so the word of God is like seed, in other words. When it's properly planted like a seed, and it's properly taken care of, it's watered and it's nourished and it's weeded and it's taken care of, it's given a chance, it then can come forth with life and vigor and grows and brings fruit. And isn't that what we want? But you see, we have a responsibility in doing that with the word of the Lord. Now we could go back to Psalms. I'm sorry, I'm running ahead of myself. Ephesians talks about the word of the Lord. And he refers to it as, we're not going to look at all these for sake of time, but he refers to it as water, as refreshment. It's called water because it's cleansing, it's quenching, and it has refreshing qualities. And so that's one of the things that God's Word does to us, and we all want that, do we not? There's times in all of our lives and all of our experiences, and I trust that it's an everyday experience where we realize that we need the inspiration, I'll call it. We need some encouragement. We need some comfort. We need some fortitude just to go on and to face life and the pressures of life and the things that we face in life. And as we go to God's Word and as we read a little bit, we say, oh, there it is. That happened to me one day this week. I even forget now what it was, but I opened the Bible because I just felt like I need something, and I read just a few verses, and I said, oh, there it is. Thank you, Lord. That's what I need for today. It was just that refreshment that I could take along. We need those times of cleansing and quenching and those refreshing qualities. Well, the Bible is also a lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, the fourth one that I wrote down. The Bible calls itself a lamp. It's a light unto my path. It's called a lamp because it shows us where we are now. It guides us to the next steps that God wants us to take in this journey of life. And you know what it does? It keeps us from stumbling when we would otherwise stumble and fall and lose out. We turn to the Bible and we read it and we find just what we need for the time and the moment. And it carries us on, it carries us through. The Bible, number 5, also talks about itself being a sword. There's a few verses. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Hebrews tells us. It's called a two-edged sword. Refers to the Word of God as a two-edged sword. It pierces, it divides, it cuts, it convinces, it convicts. But you know what it does? The other side as well. It comforts, it guides, it gives us what we need at a time. It has precision to it. I don't know if you ever saw a two-edged sword. How many of you ever saw a real sword? I did. I saw a two-edged sword one time years ago when I, part of my past life was I would call sales. I'm still at this point a licensed auctioneer in Pennsylvania. I don't do a lot of that anymore, but I used to call sales a lot. And one time I had a sale and sold a collection of antiques and collectibles for a man, and he had some swords there, and he pulled a two-edged sword out of a sheath, and I still remember looking at that, and yeah, I see some of you making eyes. I kind of made eyes like that. Well, the Word of God is like that. It's sharp, and it cuts, it divides the intents of the heart and the spirit. It shows what we are and what we are not. That's what God's Word does to us. The Bible refers to itself as precious metals, gold, silver. We could go to Psalm 19. It is referred to as a precious metal because it's desirable. People seek after metals. Gold and silver, it's something that's sought after. It's something that's beautiful. It's something of value. Dear friends, the word of the Lord is that. That's what it is. It's valuable. We can't put a price on it. How much would you give for the word of God if you didn't have it? If you were living in Amos's time and you were famished for the word of God, we don't think about that because we're not there. The word of God is nourishing food for us. It talks about the Word of God being like milk. It talks about it being like bread. It talks about it being like honey. All things that we like in the natural form. More to be desired than those things. Yes, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. It's referred to these nourishing things in our life. One more. The Word of God is like a hammer, the Bible tells us. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks to pieces? Now, we don't like to think about it like that. But tonight, dear ones, we talked about the word of the Lord being the story of our salvation and redemption. It's the word of God that works in our hearts and in our lives and makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. But you know what? To get there, we need to travel a road of pain, a road of dying, a road of a way that is not pleasant and we don't like to go there and we cringe back from it and we say, oh no, Lord, I don't want to pay that price. But you know what? When we allow the word of God to break us apart, that is exactly what Jesus wants with us. That is exactly what God wants. God wants broken things because God can work with broken things. God is an expert at putting broken things back together again. That's what he loves to do. As long as we're not broken, as long as we don't allow the hammering effect of God's word in our lives, God really can't work with us. But we cringe. We pull back from that. I don't like to be hit with a hammer. Sometimes that happens to those of us that work in whatever we work in. We maybe sometimes miss our mark and hit our fingers or whatever it is, and it hurts, and we don't like that. And that's how it is in the spiritual sense as well. But you know what the difference is? From a person that allows God's word to be to break him and to humble him and to put him on death row, as it were, versus the individual who doesn't. It's like a true prophet and a false prophet. They are as different as the wheat and the chaff. And that's how it is with us. We can be the wheat that God can use if we allow God to work with us. But he's going to have to get rid of the chaff in our lives, clean us up. But you see, the sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken and a contrite spirit. O God, thou wilt not despise. Tonight, what does the word of God mean to you? What will you allow the word of God to do in your life and in your experience? The Bible tells us, and we're not going there because the clock's moving on, but the Bible tells us that we are living in a world where people are watching us and where we have the message and we have the word of God. We claim to be the children of God. We claim to be God's workers here on earth. And there's a whole world full of people in our communities that are living right around each one of us that don't know God and don't know the Bible and don't read the Bible, but they read our lives. The challenge is, what is your life and my life telling those people tonight? Are we allowing God to work through us and show them the way? Back in Noah's time, the word caused a great flood. The word of the Lord will last forever. Remember that. Back in Noah's time, it caused a great flood of water to destroy all the wicked of that time. It is the same word today that this present world, the Bible tells us, is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Tonight, God sent Jesus Christ into the world as his word. And we could have looked at that as well. God, Jesus, the Spirit, and the Word, they're all the same. But God sent Jesus into the world tonight as his word in human form. And when Jesus returns again, we stand before the judge on the final day. We will be judged by what? By his word, The Bible tells us, John 12:48, we will be judged by the Word of God. Tonight, I leave the challenge with us. What does the Word of God mean to you? What does the Word of God mean to I? What are we going to do with the Word of God? Brothers and sisters, I plan to preach the Word of God this week. I plan to stick to the Word of God. I'm thankful I have that message to share with you. And I want you to think about God's Word. I'm not going to give an invitation tonight. Maybe I'll just open it up. If anyone wants to share a testimony this evening about what the Word of God means to you, or what God's Word means, or what you would like it to do, or maybe you just want to say you need more of it, I'll give you a few moments to do that tonight.